5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to Tech Talk. I am Stephen Scott and we're back on the air. Yes, the show has taken its first break in just over 9.5 years of being on air here on RNIB Connect Radio. So we apologise for that. Well, I apologise for that because it was all down to me. I wasn't too well, quite frankly, and now I'm better. Now, some may see that as a positive, some may see that as a negative. It's entirely dependent on how you view the show. But thank you to those of you who've been in touch with your very well wishes. And yes, I am feeling much better, and the show is back. Tim Schwartz is here from LifeAfterBlindness.com. Good to talk to you again, Tim.
Good to speak with you again, Stephen. I mean, of course, this isn't our very first time hearing each other's voices in 3 weeks, but
no, that's
yeah,
right.
You've been so under the weather, and under the weather is probably not even the right term for it. So I'm so glad that you're feeling better and that we are back and that you're doing well. I was very honestly very, very concerned about you.
Yeah. Well, I was concerned about me too a little bit, but thankfully, all is good. Got my all clear on Friday, so everything's good. Everything's, whatever it was, is no more. Thank goodness. Or at least it's calming down. Let's just say I'll be cutting back on a few coffees. That might be a good idea. Robin Christofferson's here from AbilityNet. Hello to you, sir.
Hello. I've got a cup of coffee here, but now I'm not going to enjoy it, I don't think.
No. I'm going to make you feel really bad about that coffee over the course of the next hour. But no,
good
look,
to have you back.
Well, thank you. And it's nice to be back. And it is nice. It's actually the thing I've been looking forward to the most is getting back on air and talking with you guys, because honestly, there's been so much to talk about. And I've been sitting here going, I can't talk about it. It's all WhatsApp chats and, you know, grabbed conversations here and there. So it's nice to get back on air and share what's going on. And of course, we come back on the week of WWDC, the Worldwide Developer Conference from Apple. It's kicked off, and quite a busy week, as you can imagine. And our plan was, we all sat down on the Monday night to watch, or listen, I guess, to the event, which was audio described brilliantly, as always.
Hooray!
Although I will say this, I do find it really tough for the audio describers, because the dialogue is so dense, and it's quite hard for them to fit a lot of the information in, and some of that information we need. Like, they'll say, and here's the list of countries that we're going to launch this in. And you're like, oh, and then you don't find out because it's too late by that point. They've moved on. But no, it was really good to be able to listen to it, catch up with you guys. And also, our plan was to record the show straight after. We were going to just jump right on. And by the end of it, we were kind of a bit bored, weren't we? I mean, was it just me? Was I a bit... Yeah, I just felt a bit bored.
Burnout, probably. I mean, it was really intense.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I think we've been able to digest the things we like now.
Well, so that's right. We'll take the day, and we know the show's on air at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday, so we obviously have to get it on air before that, or get it recorded before that. So we're obviously doing this early on Tuesday morning, following on from the event itself. Yes, very early for Tim. do you know what? It's funny. When I said to you last night, I thought, you know, is this a good idea for us to do this? And you're like, yeah, it's 4 a.m. I'll be up. I'll be fine.
Is this no problem.
Are blind people going through seasons at the moment? Because every blind person I speak to can't seem to sleep. No one's sleeping at the moment.
I think all of us have non-24 hours, you know, night-day sleep disorder. Because none of us are sleeping, it seems. I know we'll talk about this a completely different time, but Clubhouse has been a buzzing late at night because not just blind people, it seems like everybody is needing an outlet to help their insomnia. So, yeah, 4 a.m, sure, why not? It's almost bedtime for me, so it's all good.
I have to say, you've never sounded so awake. I'm going to do this show every week at this time. This is what we're going to record.
Well, usually I fall out of bed an hour, maybe a half an hour before we record.
10 minutes. Yeah.
You know, get some kit. Well, I can't say it's never happened. You guzzle down some caffeine, get some sugar in me. And
No, don't do it, Tim.
Well, yeah, I know. Trust me, I can't be going down that road either. But somewhere about halfway through the show, I perk up a bit, when everything kicks in. But
that's true.
No, I'm wide awake. I'm great.
Well, it's funny because I thought I'd be really tired this morning, and I'm not. I actually got up this morning at 6:30. My wife was off. My wife goes off to work, so she heads off early. And you know that way you think, oh, I could just get another hour. I could just get up at 8 and we'll record at 8:30. But I thought, no, I'm not doing that today because I know how tired I am when I do it. So no, I thought we'd just get up early. And these days I'm taking it. So I'm on these tablets, you see, and they chill me out like you wouldn't believe. So I'm constantly... they do bring tiredness with them. So that's... In a way, I've cured whatever insomnia might have hit me otherwise, because these pills just knock me out. I mean, this show will absolutely kill me today. You know, I'll finish the show and then I'll be like, that's me for the day. I'm just out. But during it, I'm having the greatest time. Right, look, should we talk about WWDC? I mean, honestly, there's so much. So it was a software event. That's the key. And...
Truly,
you know,
a software event, yeah. Yes.
I kind of thought, I know a lot of people said, there were even some people on podcasts like, oh yeah, there'll be hardware, there'll be a new MacBook Pro. Yeah, the 16-inch MacBook Pro is coming. Of course it is. No hardware.
Yeah, let's just say that this morning there are some very well-known Apple analysts that are missing eyebrows. I know of one that's missing their goatee. All these promises and guarantees that they made. Yeah, they're now missing facial hair because they made bets with their audiences that they really shouldn't have made. Boy, I'm glad we were on the air the last few weeks to make any kind of promises or guarantees like that.
I have so little hair left on my head that, you know, I don't really want to get to a stage where I'm promising to get rid of it. Unless it's a goodbye. It'll be a goodbye, not a, you know, a temporary loss.
I would make a guarantee, like, if there is no iMac then or MacBook Pro, my belly will shrink by several trouser sizes.
Yes.
That'll happen. Yeah,
can we
that's
do that?
It, right?
I'd be all up for that.
It'll just magically occur, right?
Yeah.
Well, next event, we'll do that.
That's the one. I'm going to lose 10 stone at the next event. That's...
luck.
Stone for each prediction.
That's right, exactly.
But it is good, though, Stephen, that your doctor released you just in time for an Apple event. Go figure. It's almost
the timing was...
Is that the Apple a day keeps the doctor away? He said, enough, talk about Apple, I'll let you go so you can do the event. Is that what happened?
But it's kind of like that. Well, but there's no way you'd have stopped me. So, you know, just to put you in the picture, right? So my boss says to me, she says, look, give yourself a week to get back into the swing and then we'll start the show the next week. And I said, look, that's very kind of you. That's very kind. The show's already been off air for 3 weeks, so it's really kind that you would offer another week. But, you know, and we've not been off. We've been running repeats, right? So the show's been on. But for podcast listeners, it's not been on at all. We've put up a little note saying where we are, but we didn't get a show out. But the idea of leaving it on WWDC week, I'm like, no, I'm back. This is going to happen.
You're not this gonna, is what keeps you alive, right, Stephen?
Yeah, not going to hold me back on this one. Let's talk through it, because there is a lot to go through. And maybe we just go through it in the way that they announced it and pick out some of our favourite bits. iOS 15, so that's the new version of software for the iPhone, that has been announced. So they have put out developer betas for all the software they've announced as of yesterday, or I should say Monday if you're listening to this on repeat, as of Monday. And then over the course of the next few months, they will roll out. There'll be a public beta in July, and then there will be the official launch in fall, which is autumn.
Autumn, how
autumn
dare you?
To
autumn.
The rest of us. Yes, exactly.
Jeez, I can't believe you.
I know, but I had to say fall, because they say fall, and it sounds nicer than autumn, although I don't know, I kind of like them both. Autumn or fall, there's your Twitter poll question for the day. Oh, Andy's not here, I meant to say. No Andy this week, sorry.
Oh yeah,
guys,
no emails, Andy.
Yeah, well, we knew we wouldn't get to the emails this week because we'd so much to talk about here, so we gave Andy the week off. He was up late with us last night as well, trying to go through all this. Putting an Android guy through that, such a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, poor Andy.
It was painful.
It was painful for him.
I felt pain for him. It was sad. Poor Andy.
But there was actually quite a lot. I mean, interestingly, I didn't delve into much of the accessibility stuff until later. And there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, there is.
So let's kind of dive through some of the main sort of headline features first. And there was a lot of news on audio, which was quite interesting. This kind of tied into the AirPods. But the first thing that came up that I kind of caught my attention was voice isolation or wide spectrum listening. So this is for people who are using AirPods, and you, or even on a FaceTime call, you might want, you're even using the phone. You often get a lot of background noise, right? I mean, we've all been there. You know, someone starts a pneumatic drill behind you whilst you're trying to have a conversation in the street. and you can barely hear a thing. Well, now you can turn on this voice isolation mode, and it kills entirely, just kills that background noise. Utterly silent, and then all you can hear is the person's voice, which is very clever. In audio...
Conversation boost, that's what they call it.
Oh, is that what they call it? Yeah, conversation boost. But that's the... In audio terms, that's a noise gate, isn't it? That's essentially what they're doing.
In essence,
a very
yep.
powerful noise gate. But they've also added wide spectrum. So there were some people saying, yeah, it'd be really nice to have the alternative option, which is to grab as much of the audio as possible. Mm-hmm. That sounds quite nice as well. So, you know, recording...
Well, then they spread that out, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's right. It's kind of the alternative, isn't it? It's the opposite version of it. But I think it's quite cool because if you go somewhere, I like to, especially these days, I'm quite enjoying capturing a lot of soundscapes. And to have more ability to capture and use the microphones to better effect sounds quite good to me. So, yeah, they talked a bit about that. And I'm just going to run through some things here, guys. Jump in as you want. But, you know, FaceTime with spatial audio. This is really for FaceTime group calls. So if you're on a FaceTime... I don't think I've ever been on a FaceTime group call.
We did try. You probably tried hard to forget. But many years ago, I believe you, myself, and Sean tried a couple times when it was first two or more people.
Right, okay.
And we had some trouble in the beginning. So,
well, yeah,
but
that's
it does
right.
work much
yes,
better
I
now.
I remember that, yeah.
Because they added where you could have it up to 32 people in a group call. And we tried to do it immediately, and of course that was not the best idea because it was still very buggy. But yeah, we haven't really tried it since. But I have talked to people that use it all the time for, you know, for office purposes or even just family getting together. And some of the other updates that you're going to, you know, be getting to here in a moment really make FaceTime, kind of with iMessage as well, but make FaceTime really, really interesting.
Yeah, FaceTime groups in grid view. Which I think what they do at the moment, if I'm right in saying this, is that the photos or the images of whoever you're talking to kind of float on the screen, and whoever's speaking it kind of comes forward and then moves back as someone else speaks. And a lot of people didn't like that, and I certainly, from a reduced motion perspective, you know, don't really fancy that as a feature. So the grid view idea is good. This is sounding more and more like Zoom by the minute, to be honest.
Yep.
And especially with the fact now you can link to schedule a call with FaceTime. So if you've got a FaceTime or you've got a call coming up and maybe you would normally use Zoom or Teams, I guess, you can now use FaceTime to actually send a link to someone so that you can put it in their calendar and you can schedule a call. That's nice. And you know what's also smart about this? You can invite your Android friends and actually
and your
PC
Windows friends.
Yes, Windows yeah. friends as well.
And then join in a browser.
They can't start the call, can't make a call with a browser, but
no.
you can join one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were all kind of getting the impression for a second that FaceTime was coming to Android, and I'm thinking, that's it, I can move to Android now. But no, not the case. But this is pretty cool. So I see a lot of people on Twitter last night saying, oh, they've just killed Zoom. I don't think that's true. But I think there's lots of good reasons to use Zoom as well. But I think that this certainly will make a difference to a lot of people.
Am I right in thinking then that the grid view is linked to the spatial audio? So it'll actually pan the people to make them sound like they have separation in your ears, if you know what I mean, based on where they are on screen?
That's the impression I get, but I don't really know how that would work in reality. Because the screen's tiny, so where do they go? Where are these little heads bobbing about? I mean, that's what I want to know.
Because if that is the case, then that's one up on Zoom or Teams or whatever. They don't do
yes,
that.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
it definitely true. Seems like the spatial audio, of course, with FaceTime, almost called it Facebook, wow, with FaceTime, you know, the one-on-one conversations, you're going to get either that, you know, isolated or, you know, spatial sounds you can hear behind them. And they almost made it sound like I don't want to say that it would be in like a surround spatial, like, I mean, spatial implies, you know, spatial, it implies that it's going to try to pick it up around them, but that's only if they have a couple microphones. So I don't know how they're going to process that. But with the grid view, I don't know how that would work. If you had headphones on and like somebody's in the upper right-hand corner, you know, the Brady Bunch view, basically is what
yes,
this is.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
If they're up in the right-hand corner, am I going to hear them like spatially in my headphones up in the right-hand side? I don't know if it's going to be that good. It'd be amazing if it is, but I don't know. And if it is, I don't know that I even really need that. But it'll be interesting. It'll be cool. But I like the idea of being able to share the link and bring in other people, whether they're on Apple devices or not, you know, like you said, Android or PC. And I think where people were thinking that it could be a possible, I don't want to say Zoom killer, because that's ridiculous, because Zoom is so powerful and so robust and so widely available and respected, thankfully, now at this point. It wasn't a year ago or so, but people figured it out. But being able to not just, you know, share with each, or not just join together, but share with each other.
And of course, the other feature of FaceTime that they talked about, which maybe is less interesting to us, but for those who care about these things, portrait mode is coming. Now, I kind of got the wrong impression here. I thought when I heard this initially, and for those who don't know, portrait mode is where you get that effect where you're in front and then everything in the background is blurred. Is it bokeh or something they call that? Is that the effect?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's a bokeh.
So,
Yeah,
so you got that effect and you can now get that. I thought it was on pictures you took on FaceTime calls. Like, you know, you can take someone's picture in our FaceTime call. I thought that's what it was for. But no, it's not. It's actually, it's bringing that mode to FaceTime calls. So you can look much better on a FaceTime call. Now, there's a lot
the
of
background.
Reasons. Yeah, exactly. That's right. The background is blurred. It's got that nice effect. It just looks really good. Mm-hmm. Now, it's one of those things that initially you would think, well, who cares, right? I mean, but actually, I think for a lot of us, we want to look our best on our FaceTime calls or on any call. And the one thing, I was hearing someone say this last night on one of the Clubhouse rooms, that, you know, one of the great things about the iPhone is that when you use your iPhone with VoiceOver, the camera will tell you when you're centered on screen. So you're getting that audio feedback. You can put your camera in front of you, get it in a good position. It will tell you where you are on screen, and then you're able to have that call knowing you're in the right position. It's not cutting off half your head or, you know, and you know your background's clear. And that's the other thing. We've all got messy backgrounds, right? So that covers that problem up perfectly. You don't have to worry about cleaning up the background. So, yeah, I think this is actually quite a nice little feature to add to FaceTime calls.
Yeah, Teams blur out my background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robin.
I'm not sure about Zoom, but certainly Teams does it and is preferred, I think, because it just gives the focus to the person. Judith has got a lovely new iPhone. Well, second one, careful owner, so thanks to a co-host on this show, that does
that
have the ability of blurring out the background. And she was super impressed. And she's not really a technology person, but she was super impressed about the effect that it has on photographs. So, yeah, it's a good effect, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that you can not only isolate the sound, as we talked about, but then you're in essence isolating the person on screen and putting that focus where it needs to be on them. You know, that combined with, as you mentioned, Stephen, you know, getting yourself centered automatically or at least being directed to get there, not really automatically, but being directed there. And then last year they added the ability for, this is kind of creepy in a way, but it's cool, where it looks at your eyes and figures out, okay, you're not looking at the camera, you should be looking at the camera, so we're going to re-render your eyes on screen to make it look like they're looking at the camera, so you don't look you don't look like you're looking off some other weird direction. They did that with FaceTime last year in one of the subsequent updates, I think. So all of these things really are meant just to isolate the person, the sound, the you know, just everything about being able to interact with somebody on FaceTime.
Is that an accessibility thing, or is that...
No, because the camera on iPad, for example, is way over to the left, say.
Yeah.
Because it's in landscape and the camera's over to one side. So, I mean, yeah, it is really off-putting if people are looking not at the screen. They're not looking at the camera. It looks like they're looking over to one side and not paying attention. So, yeah, shifting that is really, really useful.
Well, apparently there's actually been studies done, I mean, because everything has to have a study, where people feel uncomfortable or awkward if you're not looking at them.
At them, yeah.
And so for people that can see what they're looking at, if you're looking at the screen, because you're looking at the person's face on the screen, not at the camera. This is a thing that happens with Zoom calls as well, of course. You know, you may not be looking at the camera, you're looking at the people, which you should be doing. But what Apple's done, you know, with this update last year was, well, we're going to help people not feel so awkward and uncomfortable, and we're going to kind of, you know, magic your eyes to be looking at the camera, basically. So that's all these things that they announced this week are just, I think, more, you know, more updates to that kind of idea of isolation or isolating the person you're talking to.
So some of the other headlines from iOS 15, screen share is coming, or share play, I think they call it, actually, I should say. This is, well, it is screen sharing to some degree, but what they're suggesting is you can listen together and you can watch together. So you can, you know, we could all sit and listen to the same music album together despite being miles and miles apart. We could watch the same show at the same time. Now, this, of course, raises a very interesting question around accessibility. Can I watch a program with audio description and someone else watches a program without audio description? So we can watch the same show but have different language preferences. Now, that's where the question, I guess, becomes more possible when you talk language, maybe rather than description, because I would think Apple would consider it from that perspective, which, of course, in turn would have the benefit to us with the AD, because English AD is essentially seen as a second language on Apple, well, certainly Apple TV and on other platforms as well. So I wonder how that will work. Now, the initial conversation that we've been having around this with SharePlay is, I think it's through FaceTime, isn't it, that it works?
Yep.
You can sort of have this FaceTime call. You can talk to the person, you know, on your phone. You could even bounce the TV show to your Apple TV with AirPlay, so you can watch it up there, and then you can use your phone to speak to your friends at the same time. Who does that? I can barely speak on a phone call without being distracted by anything else, without having a film playing in the background. I mean, come on. This is not going to happen to me. But, you know, I guess the youth of today will enjoy this feature immensely. But it does sound pretty good.
My first thought when I heard this, well, the first thing I heard when we heard this was our good friend Sean Priest going, boring, stupid. And I'm like, oh, come on.
And, well, he said that the whole event, to be fair.
He did say that the whole event. I don't know how much he was really listening. But as I was thinking about it, my brother, who is about 12 years younger than me, he was adopted, and he has seizure disorders and some other disabilities. And so it's difficult for him to get places. He has to get a ride or, you know, somebody drive him or whatever. And so where he lives, for him and I to get together, it's not always really easy. And there's a lot of times where we want to watch a movie together or hang out, and we just talk on the phone or do FaceTime or whatever. But now my first thought was, we can launch HBO Max or Apple TV Plus or whatever, all the different ones that they said they're partnering with now. And of course, I'm sure there'll be more in, you know, coming in the future. We could do this on FaceTime, sync it up, and watch it together. Now, it is a good question about, okay, if I'm running it on audio description, will he also have to hear that, or can he just turn that off? We haven't obviously had a chance to really test this yet, but that's the very first thing I'm going to test when I get my hands on it. I'm hoping that there'll be a way that you can do that, but I have a feeling it's going to be
whoever's streaming it,
you're going to get that feed, and that's just the way it is.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think on Netflix or on Amazon Prime Video, I don't know about HBO Max, we don't have that, but I would imagine that on all of those platforms, you have to choose audio description.
Yep.
Whereas with Apple TV, you have to turn on the audio description setting in the settings app, right? So if there are descriptions available, then it will turn them on. And I wonder if that's how this will differentiate between Apple TV and other platforms. Other platforms, you choose the language you want to listen in, essentially, English AD. Now, if the other person is getting that AD as well, then that means they're hearing it from you. Essentially, you're sharing your program to them. But the idea this is sort of like playing the show over the internet from your phone to theirs, that's not how this works.
No.
This is grabbing the stream from Netflix or Apple TV in the same way that they would watch it, that you would watch it. The difference is they're just playing the two at the same time. They're syncing them up.
And I'm hoping that that's what happens, is that it's pulling one version from your side, pulling a separate quote-unquote version from their side, or their profile, I should say, if for Netflix, for example, and you're just getting it from yours, because for you to stream it to you and to them, that would be ridiculous bandwidth, and really, how is that going to sync?
Because
they claim the syncs perfectly. So I am hoping that that is the case, that, say, if we are connecting with, you know, one of these apps, it is pulling my settings and my profile for me, and pulling, say, you know, my brother's case, whatever his settings are for him. Mm-hmm. The thing you have to think about too, though, is in the settings for that, whether it's on an iPhone or on the Apple TV, the apps themselves have to support that setting being turned on or off. So there are times when I'll have that setting turned on in the Apple TV, but the app itself, you know, it has AD, but they don't actually program it to see that the Apple TV settings say it should be on, if that makes sense. And so you have to turn it on individually within that app. Now, Apple TV Plus, of course, well, it's Apple. They make sure it's on. Other apps aren't always as good with that. But either way, I agree with you. I'm hoping that that's the way it works. And I can already see many use cases for this. I mean, Netflix kind of already does this with watch parties. There is a button that is in the app. I don't know if that's in the UK quite yet, but we have that here. Okay, yeah, good. So, you know, you can sit there and basically do the exact same thing. And I'm not sure where that's pulling from, you know, itself. But this is very similar to that, just using FaceTime.
Okay, let's talk about live text, because this is optical character recognition gone crazy. So live text is a new feature, and what is happening is any picture that you've taken on your phone, any picture that you want to take on your phone, you can do, and you can. There's a little button now, which you can convert the text in the image to active text that you can select. So let's say, for example, you're going by a building and there's a phone number on the side of the building. You can just snap a picture of the building, hit the live text button, and it will actually turn that phone number into an active link that you can tap and you can make the call. That's pretty impressive. You can also select text.
I saw a live demonstration of this on YouTube earlier today from a developer who had it already, and you actually don't even necessarily take a picture. You point your camera, you know, point the actual physical camera at the text, and a little button will appear at the bottom when it detects that there is text available.
Oh, so you don't even have to take the picture. Well,
you don't even, it's not even like you take a picture like with some of the apps that we've used for OCR over the years. You don't even have to snap the picture first to have it grab it or OCR it. It actually will see that there is text in the frame of the camera and automatically bring up this little button in the corner, and you just tap that button and then it grabs the text and puts it in an editable field, which is what I was worried about, because if it wasn't editable to where you could actually copy it and paste it somewhere else, and that wouldn't do us any good. But it does put it in a box that you can then, you know, do whatever you want with the text, just like any other field.
The thing I love about this, because obviously in Seeing AI, they have this short text channel, and it repeats what it sees in the viewfinder over and over again. So often it hasn't finished reading the text before it kind of, you've moved the camera by 1 millimeter and it's grabbed it again and started again. So the fact that it's, you know, seeing text, it gives you the opportunity to grab it in that instant and read the whole thing in a pop-up. That would be brilliant. Really, really good.
This is an incredible feature. It really is.
Yes.
So I'm going to say at this point, I did say to you both when we started recording that I had something to tell you. So I've already downloaded iOS 15 as beta, and I've spent most of the night playing with it, as I have with the macOS, the new macOS Monterey, and the new iPadOS as well. So I've basically, I've brought them all down. So here's my first, just to say this off the bat, if you've got an iPad and you're thinking of sticking iPadOS 15 on it, and you're a voiceover user, don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it, because it's an absolute nightmare at the moment. It's all over the place.
They wait a month for the public beta for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't do it. I mean, at this point, it's developer only.
Yeah.
But if you have got the ability to get that, you know, I'd maybe hold off. Public beta, I'm hoping, will be much smoother than that. On the iPhone, it's actually fine. It's actually fine. Voiceover is pretty decent on the even at this stage. There's very little. I mean, there's a couple of bits along the way, but nothing major, and it's certainly not unusable. I haven't put it on my main devices for obvious reasons, but I did get the new iPad Pro and I thought, I've got to try this. But I did try the live text feature last night. I took an image last night that I put on Twitter, and it was actually a picture of my MacBook Air, my iPad Pro, and my iPhone 12 Pro. All of them were updating, right? So all of them on the screen had the update screens going as I took the picture. And it wasn't from a far distance, you know, they were just on the desk and I took a picture of them all in front of it. And I was able to actually grab the links off the devices themselves. Now, the devices were not facing the camera, they were lying flat on the desk. And it was still able to grab all the text from those images. And I'm thinking, wow, that's so impressive. Active links from that. I mean, it was just amazing. So I think that is going to be really cool. And that's right off the bat. That's day one. It's only going to get better from that. Now, you can search text as well. So if you've got images and there's text in it, you'll be able to search that with Photos app as well. And I just want to make a quick mention, because we're halfway through the show already and we haven't even touched half of this stuff. But the other one I wanted to pick up on was Maps. Now, Maps generally, we were out at the weekend and we took a nice walk and we were somewhere and I got completely lost using maps. I couldn't figure out which way I was meant to go. And I kept thinking, oh, wasn't there a way they could just make this easier so I could at least set off properly? I feel this is the setting off part I always struggle with. It's not the journey itself. Once I'm on the path, it's fine. Once I'm on the road, I know where I'm going. But it's finding out, is it left or right here? I can't ever figure out where to start. And this new feature is incredible. So they use the example of you use transit. Now, this isn't available everywhere. I think it's coming to London, but that's about it. But in the UK anyway, lots of cities in the States will have this feature where you can use it on public transit or transport, as we call it here. And you get your train and it'll tell you when to get off the train. If you're walking out the station, though, and you think, where am I actually going now? Where do I need to go? You can actually now hold your phone up and scan the buildings around you and it will bring up on screen the map and point you, literally point you in the direction of where you need to go. This, guys, is Apple Glass in the making. I mean, this is where AR is coming in, and you can just tell that the next iteration of Apple, or the first iteration of Apple Glass, this is how it will be used. It's going to be amazing. But using augmented reality, using the camera, wow.
I'm thinking they drove around every street in those cities with a car with LiDAR.
Yeah, they must have done, yeah.
So maybe
that's what it seems like.
Apple.
It's very much a AR, LiDAR, Google Earth kind of
amalgamation. Yeah.
Because they do mention online and even a little bit in the keynote that more cities coming soon because they have to get to those cities.
That's right. You gotta map them out.
The partnerships with those, you know, those transit or transport centers and map them out and literally have to just map them and put up an algorithm and put it in the maps. And when they get to your local transit, then you'll get it. And yeah, when they said that during the keynote, it took me a minute to process, but I'm like, wait, I can what? Okay, I'm in. This is what I want.
Just a quick word on AirPods Pro. They're getting a bit of a boost. You mentioned Conversation Boost earlier, of course. Really, so just to be clear on this, Conversation Boost is more about hearing clearly conversations around you, from my understanding of this. Whereas what I mentioned earlier about voice isolation is more about the person hearing you on the other side. So Conversation Correct. Boost is you wearing the AirPods Pro, and only the AirPods Pro in this case. Sorry, Robin. I've got some here. They're terrible. You want them? honestly, they just crackle. I'm going into the Apple Store tomorrow, I think, and I'm going to see if I can get them looked at because it really kind of irritates me that I can't use them properly. But it's just the crackling thing, you know. I'm sure they'll fix it. But anyway, Conversation Boost is coming. Announce notifications. Now, it originally did announce notifications, I think, for like messages and stuff. But now it will do more than that. And there's a whole world of pain we can talk about with notifications. I don't really want to get into that at the moment. There's a lot there. It's quite interesting when you get into the whole notifications thing and how they're grouping them all together now. And focus mode as well to make it easier. There's a lot we can talk about, but we'll get to
different
that in coming
layers
weeks.
Of notifications and not disturbing those notifications and categories of them, and it's a whole thing.
The one thing that I thought existed already was AirPods Pro and Find My. I thought this was a thing already because I've dropped a couple of AirPods before and I've found them using something to find my AirPods, whatever it was. I'm sure it already existed here, but apparently now AirPods Pro, or maybe it was just the AirPods, not the AirPods Pro, I don't know, but Find My, the app which brings all your devices and your AirTags and, you know, keys and whatever you've got, you know, people as well, you can find anything in it. That is, the AirPods Pro will be part of that. AirPods Max as well will be in there.
Well, I was wondering if, Robin, if you had picked up on this, because it sounded to me like it was coming to the Pro, which I didn't know if it was on the Pros already or not, but I know regular AirPods have the ability to be found in Find My because I've had to do it. But they can only be found if they're out of the case and that individual one will beep.
Yeah.
Now they said, though, with the AirPod Pro, not only can you find it using Find My, but it's whether they're in the case or not. And I swear I heard them say that during the keynote.
That's the new thing then, obviously. Yeah, because I was bemused by that, because you can, if you drop an AirPod, you can you know, ping it, you yeah. can find it on Find My. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the case now has the U1. I'm not sure.
Well, and I also wondered if, first of all, if that's the case with the AirPod right, Pro okay. case, but then I'm wondering if they're using some of like the NFC ability of the AirTags, because it did almost sound like the AirPod Pros not only would beep in or out of the case either way, but it almost sounded like they would do the precise location that the AirTags do, where you can, I don't know if that's true, but that's what it sounded like they were trying to say, is that you would find them very specifically. So that's something to maybe look into, but that's what I thought I heard.
Spatial audio is coming to tvOS and macOS as well. So if you've got the AirPods Pro or you've got the AirPods Max, you can enjoy spatial audio from those devices. I kind of like that. I think it's kind of nice. I don't have an Apple TV in the bedroom, and I keep thinking this would be cool now, because I could then watch something, you know, with the Apple TV, you know, in the bedroom or whatever. I mean, I guess if I could get a decent connection out on it, I could probably choose the one from the next room. I don't really need the screen turned on, do I? Anyway.
And didn't you say once, wasn't it you, Stephen, who complained saying, I want my AirPods Pro to do this on the television and allow me to look left and right or be in another room and have it move with me, but right now it's stationary and it's yes. right in front of me no matter what I do. I think I heard you say that once.
Well, that's right.
That was
right.
kind of a thing you wanted.
Because the thing was, what happened was, I think I was watching calls at the time. And what happened was, I was obviously just listening to it. So I put the phone to the side and then all the sound traveled to the left side of my headphones. And I thought, how's this going to work? But what happens is, after a few seconds, it resets itself. It's almost as if it realizes, okay, he's not bothering with the spatial audio. So it just ignores it and it just goes back to center. So it was actually okay. So intelligent. Far more intelligent than me. Okay, so that's AirPods Pro. There's a couple of nice little features there. I want to talk about iPadOS, because this was the one that I was excited about. I thought, got the new iPad Pro, I got the new 12.9 with the beautiful display, which is, as I call it, the best blur I've ever seen. And I got the Magic Keyboard as well to go with it. So it's a really nice setup. Is it a laptop replacement? No.
Not yet.
Is VoiceOver good enough to use it independently? No. It's better than I thought it was. Certainly I've learned a lot since using this. The Option key is your friend, in the sense that you can move around the screen much more easily if you know the navigation commands. It does, oddly enough, that helps. And I have found it a bit better than I had experienced before. I used to talk about the challenges, but there still are challenges with it. However, with the new iPadOS, I was kind of expecting or hoping for two things. One, better keyboard support. Tick. Because they've announced that mm-hmm. you can get full keyboard access on it, which is brilliant. Although you could get full keyboard access in the previous version, but maybe they've just enhanced it a bit. Well, they have, actually. I'll talk about that in a second. But the second thing was better productivity, or closer to macOS. And this is an endless debate in the Apple community, is what is happening with iPadOS? Is it going to eventually become more macOS? Or is macOS going to become more like iPadOS? I think probably the latter is true, because truthfully, you know, when I think about the iPad, it's the best of everything. Really, it is the best of everything, because you've got touchscreen, you've got portability, you've got a wireless tablet, you've got the, well, not quite wireless charging, but you know, you kind of do with the Magic Keyboard, but that's questionable. You've got a great camera. You've got brilliant FaceTime camera. You've got 5G built in. You've got all the things that a MacBook Air or a MacBook Pro doesn't have yet. So it is a much better portable device. But I just wonder, the issue being, of course, that it doesn't have the software. That's the issue. It's not a macOS device. You can't run Final Cut on it. You know, it's things like that you just think, come on, it's got the power in
that
it.
That was a very highly anticipated item that they didn't mention, which was, because it's now M1, please let us run macOS apps.
Yeah.
But they didn't announce that.
But they did come up with a few things that were quite interesting. So, I mean, if you care about widgets, then great. You can get widgets galore on your home screen. I personally couldn't care less. There's a new app library, which is essentially what they've brought in with the iPhone. So if you have the iPhone and you've got the new software, iOS 14 on there, you'll know about the app library. Again, couldn't care less. Multitasking has been enhanced a little bit. Accessibility is the big question on that one. I've never used multitasking because it just seems too convoluted to me. I just command tab between apps and I'm happy with that, with the keyboard anyway. Notes is getting a bit of a boost. This is more of an iOS or iPadOS, macOS thing, isn't it? That Notes is getting a bit of a boost. You're getting collaboration options on there. You could always collaborate to some degree. You can share notes with people, but they've gone further with that. You can now use usernames to connect with people on their hashtags, so you can build up. I mention people. Yeah, you can use tags so you can find your content. So it's kind of building in more functionality to the Notes app, which has always been good. New Quick Note as well.
This to me was very interesting.
Very cool.
So this is like a little popover, and hopefully there'll be a keyboard shortcut for it as well.
There's
certainly going to be a brilliant. So yeah, it's basically just a little scratch pad that you can add notes to wherever you are in the OS and then dismiss it again. You've used it, have you?
Yeah, so I mucked around last night. So here's the fun thing. On the iPad, what you do is you hold down the command key when you're in any app, frankly, but if you've got VoiceOver running, you can do this as well. You can hold down the command key and it will tell you relevant shortcuts that you can use it with the keyboard on that specific app. So whatever app you're in, wherever you are, home screen or in an app, usually an Apple app, it will give you specific commands that you can use. And the one I was looking for was Quick Note. So there is a key at the bottom left of the Magic Keyboard. Now, I think it's I would call it the emoji key, because whenever I press it, emojis pop up. I don't know what it's officially called. It's not the control key. I had this argument with someone in Clubhouse last night. It's the control key. It's not the control key. It's to the left of the control key. You might call it the function key. Well, not on the iPad it's not, because iPad doesn't have a function row, so it's not the function key. But it is the function key. That's probably the best way to say it. So it's what I'd say, not the function key, but it is. But that and Q brings up Quick Note, and the same key, the function key and Q on the Mac brings up Quick Note there as well. So once you get there, it will work. Because that's the thing that I was thinking, how do you do this? Because it's actually a swipe gesture, which doesn't do anything, from the bottom right diagonally to top left. That's how you would action it on the screen. So it's like in a diagonal gesture, which doesn't really work very well. But thankfully there is a keyboard command, which I knew there would be. But I was just trying to find it. And it's great. Absolutely brilliant. Pops up. You can type your note in instantly and dismiss with command W. Absolutely brilliant.
And they get added to the Notes app.
And they do. They get added to the Notes app as well. So that's really nice. Really like that. I mean, look, there's so much more. But I want to talk, because I did spend some time with this range of different ones, the different OSs over the past few hours. Just to get, I wanted to come to the table with something this week. I thought I'd prepare. Since we have been off for a couple of weeks, I thought, let's not, do the usual and just, hope for the best. Let's actually try some stuff out. And I have found some interesting little features. So I'm going to focus on accessibility primarily here, because that's what we do. So I think first I'll say this. The main takeaways for me, for all of this, is around leisure and fun for family and friends. That was the takeaway I got from the whole event. This isn't really about productivity. That event wasn't about productivity. I mean, you can argue there are productivity elements to all of it, but to me, it felt like they were really honing in on making the whole experience better. There were minimal, big moonshot updates. It was all pretty sensible stuff. And I think that's a good idea. I think that's good. There was nothing ridiculous or over the top that came out of this particular event. It was all just a kind of gradual step, but in a very good direction. So I was quite pleased about that, actually. I don't know if you guys felt the same. It didn't feel too over the top. It didn't feel like we were getting something that would be, you'd look at it and go, oh, that's ridiculous. I mean, there was one feature that I thought was pretty cool, and that was macOS Monterey, which is the new macOS operating system. It's now got universal control, which is pretty impressive. You can share your mouse and your keyboard between your iPad and MacBook. This might be classed as a moonshot type thing. It doesn't work yet. I can't get it to work at the moment on this device, but This is quite interesting. So basically, this is the one I would say is probably the biggest feature. You got your keyboard, you got your mouse. You can take your mouse to, say your iPad is sitting to the left of your MacBook. You can take your cursor to the edge of the screen and it will automatically pop up on your iPad. And then you can continue with the mouse on that screen. And you can, if you had an image, for example, that was on your iPad and you wanted to put it into a document on your MacBook, you can just click and drag it across and drop it wherever you want. That's pretty impressive, right? And you can even use the keyboard across devices as well.
Yeah, an iMac to the right. So you've got three screens next to each other. And yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, if you use an operating system like Windows, which supports multiple screens, then this is going to seem very familiar. But the gold thing here is that this is actually completely separate devices, separate operating systems, and you can drag things across. And yeah, really amazing. And considering that it's been really hard to use the same keyboard, for example, across devices, you know, the way of connecting an Apple keyboard to an Apple device isn't conducive to using it on more than one device at all. So this is really good.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, so here's my question, though. How's that going to work with the keyboard? Now, there must be a keyboard command or something that's going to make this work, because if the action is to take the physical mouse to the corner to make it happen, then that's not going to work for us. Now, I can't, again, it's like the swipe thing with the quick note. There must be a keyboard command to do it. But again, it's early days in the beta. I haven't seen it working yet, so it must be coming in updates on the beta. So I'm not worried about it at the moment, but I will be keen to see how that goes, and I'll certainly share it with you when I know. Also, what else is there? There's shortcuts coming to the Mac. This looks like you, Tim, because I know you love shortcuts. You're a shortcuts fan. I've only recently started getting into them. What was the one I wanted to do the other day and I couldn't? Oh, yeah, it was yesterday. I was trying to set one up so I could, essentially for my wife, so she could find her keys just by tapping on a shortcut on the home screen. And I couldn't get one to work. Could not get one to. There was nothing for Find My. And then yesterday, at the event, I hear they're bringing Find My to shortcuts. I'm saying, ah, there we go, it's coming soon. They've heard me scream. So yeah, that is coming, which is good. Because you just want, you know, I'm thinking sometimes you can't always remember the command, and you're thinking, oh, hang on, what's the device called again? Now, I know in this case you would just say Find My Keys, but, you know, maybe you forget if it's a backpack or it's called something else, you know, so it's nice just to have something you can just tap on screen, you don't have to remember it. Mm-hmm. Also on Mac, you've got AirPlay to Mac as well with video and audio. So you could share your, if you've got an iMac, you could share your iPhone screen to the Mac. And actually on next week's Tech Talk, I'm going to be talking about something which is pretty cool. It's a new monitor that can do just that. So I'm going to talk about that next week. I'm hoping to get it today. And then I can share that with you next week. I think this monitor is going to change things, actually. So we'll talk about that. Anyway, yeah, so accessibility findings. All right, okay, so I spent a bit of time going through all these different iOS 15, iPad 15, and the new macOS Monterey. Couple of things I've picked up on, because the first thing I did was I went through every setting trying to see what was new. There are now accessibility settings per app now. This is new. So you can set up custom settings. Now, I went into a couple of apps. So you go in, and at the very bottom of accessibility, there's now a per app setting button, and when you go in there you can choose an app and then assign specific accessibility requirements. Now this is handy for, it seems initially anyway, the options are around text, displaying text. So I haven't seen anything around voiceover, I haven't seen anything around that, but I've seen plenty of settings for contrast, smart invert, all that kind of stuff, you know, so it's kind of aimed more, it seems, visually, which is kind of handy because a lot of people do struggle with that larger text option. Some apps don't respect it very well. Some apps, the text is so big you can't even use the app because the text is all over the place.
And a lot of those apps don't allow you to change the interface. They may or may not have a light mode or a dark mode. They may or may not let you change the text size or anything like that. And so to have this be put natively into iOS, where you can then control the apps, and you know, it's kind of a macro kind of you know, access to the apps in order to do that. I like that, you know, especially for people with low vision. I've talked to a lot of people that have some or low vision that say, you know what, if I could just get this one app, but it won't do it. And I had a conversation with somebody, speaking of Clubhouse, you know, several weeks ago, somebody said, yeah, my parents are low vision now and they can't use a certain mail app that I want, or that they want to be able to use. And they've gone through six different mail apps and they just can't find the one that will work best for them because they can't get the text to get bigger. And so this is kind of that workaround. I'm wondering, Stephen, if you're not seeing as many things for VoiceOver because of activities that we have in VoiceOver, because that is a way, it's not fully functional and as in depth as it could be. But for example, you can have VoiceOver have certain things work or happen with VoiceOver when a certain app is open. For example, I don't use auto ducking for VoiceOver on any app. I don't like it. You know, the audio getting ducked down, you know, just because I get a notification. I don't care. However, if I'm in an app like Zoom or Clubhouse or something where there's other people speaking, I want VoiceOver. You know, I may want the person, you know, their audio to duck so I can hear VoiceOver, especially on Clubhouse. So I've actually made an activity for VoiceOver that does that only in those specific apps. So I'm wondering if that's why you're not seeing that. I don't know. That's just my best guess, because you can sort of do some things, you know, and drill down and do that with VoiceOver already with activities.
And I wonder if the app itself needs to have the capability to be customized. That may be the next part of this. That's that, you know, there's only so much the app might allow, or need to be. I mean, I think the one I was in was Be My Eyes, and there wasn't really, I guess, much you could do with that. There's only so many buttons on it, so maybe on that app there's not much you can customize. But yeah, the other area which I think I'm right in saying is certainly more customizable than previous versions is verbosity under VoiceOver. Whereas before, you know, it was pretty basic, punctuation, maybe speaking hints, that was about it. Now there's lots of options around QuickNav and how, if you're turning QuickNav on and off, how that can be announced. You can speak it, you can play a sound, you can change the pitch, you can do Braille. There's also torch notifications as well. This is interesting, you can get an alert when the torch is left on. I didn't know that was a thing, but there you go.
I actually like that, because a lot of times if I'm using, say, you know, Seeing AI or something else that uses that, you know, for the camera to pick it up, my wife will say, hey, by the way, your light's on. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I must still have that app in the foreground. I forgot to close it or whatever. So that would actually be a nice feature.
And everything else seems to have much more involvement with Braille as well. So, for example, I mean, you can have links, speak, play sound, change pitch, Braille, actions are the same, more content, container descriptions, numbers, much more information, emojis as well can be spoken as well as be Brailled out to you. Media descriptions can be speech output as well as Braille output, which I think always was. But, you know, we're seeing a lot more customization in VoiceOver coming, which is pretty cool. And the one thing which I've got to say surprised me, I don't know if I like it or not. I've tried it, and I'm not entirely sure. They've brought interaction to the iPhone and iPadOS. So on macOS, if you know, you've got to interact with groups in order to use the system. They've brought this to the iPhone, which is kind of terrifying. So you've got two options now under navigation style. You've got flat, which is your standard way of navigating, just by moving, you know, through the screen with the standard, you know, swipes left and right. Or you've got grouped mode, which does it by moving through items and groups of items on the screen. And you move into a group using a two-finger swipe right to leave a group, two-finger swipe left. Now, I'll give you an example where I found this. In messages, it showed up. In mail, it showed up. All those kind of apps. So what you would get is at the top of the screen, you might have the back button. You might have an edit button, you might have a search box. So that would all be in a group. And then your messages would be in a separate group. And you would interact with those groups in order to move around. Thoughts?
So what about loads of apps have tabs at the bottom and maybe even the dock on the home screen? Mm-hmm. Is that counted as well as a group?
Yes.
Wow. Probably, and my guess is what I've seen in the VoiceOver gestures where you change the commands and the gestures for voiceover. There is one in there for finding containers, and I played with that one time, and that's exactly what it did. I set, you know, find next container, find last container, and it would jump to those exact same groups you're describing, Stephen. So it sounds like this is just automatically implementing that idea, whereas we before could change a gesture or add a gesture to jump to those containers. Because I've done it, and it popped me to the tabs at the bottom, or it popped me to, you know, something else. You know, there was a group of things on the screen. So that's what that sounds like.
So you can ignore groups in macOS, which is what I do. So that it doesn't call it flat, but yeah, so I would definitely want to do that, but you can't dispense with interaction entirely. So I don't know how I feel about this. The first thing I did with iOS 14, when it started to announce toolbar, various, I can't remember what they are now, because I turned it off straight away. That's what I did, because I didn't like that extra robustity.
That's what those were, the container announcements, yep.
Yeah, so I'm not sure.
I'm not sure at all if I like it. I mean, that's the thing. It instantly, it's like, well, get rid of that. But I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing. I honestly have no idea. But I'll be interested to see how this comes about and how it's used. I will say one thing, though. If you hate using Twitter at the moment, because Twitter has been an absolute nightmare, you get third tweet down. If you're using the Twitter app and you get to the third app down, and then it bounces you straight into the toolbar. And then when you go back, it throws you back to the top of the list. You can't seem to get past it. Well, this group situation solves that problem, because you're essentially focusing in on that one particular area, so you're not having the fear of falling out of the group of messages and into the toolbar. So there's
that could be handy.
That's good. Yeah. That is actually what it's really good.
Now, Stephen, I have a question for you then. I don't know if it's been implemented yet, but I'm really interested to see if it's going to be as good as they claim, but it may or may not be there yet. Because they had announced a few weeks ago about enhanced image recognition instead of just very simple, descriptions that they had put in iOS 14, it was going to be very specific. If there was somebody in the photo that they recognized, from your photos, it would say, a photo of Stephen Scott and you at the beach, blah, 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 whatever. I mean, it would be, instead of just beach, sun, person, wearing glasses, It was going to get very, very specific, and it was very enhanced. And I had heard a demo of this, on Global Accessibility Awareness Day, and it was amazing the amount of detail that's there. And I like I said, I don't know if that's in the first round of beta yet, if you've encountered that yet, or if that's to come.
Well, one thing I did do was go in and reset my image recognition file, and I've noticed that file that comes down is about 140 odd meg. That seems to have increased since last time. That file size is bigger, so that suggests there's more in there. And we haven't even touched on the fact that Siri is also going to be on board as well, which is another big feature.
Thank goodness.
That's going to make a big difference. It's going to mean you're not going to be rushing about as much. It's not going to be trying to find image on... pardon, this music is a bit loud. Basically, it is going to make a big difference to this system and how it operates. You want to go to an app, it's going to get there much quicker for you. Look, we're out of time. That's it. We're out of time. It's been a quick hour, but thank you so much, guys, for being with me. It's great to be back. Keep your feedback coming, as you can always do. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We'll look forward to your comments. Robin and Tim, great to be back. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Glad to have you back. Thanks.